Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone online. It's great to have you with us this morning. We are a small but perfectly formed group here of 10 people at the Bridge, and hopefully many, many more joining us online. I was reminded of a great song from Les Miserables, which goes, "Empty chairs and empty tables." It's called "Empty Chairs and Empty Tables." And one of the characters in Les Miserables goes back to a cafe where the young men of Paris used to gather and plan for the revolution battles that Les Miserables is about. And unfortunately, after the battles, many of his friends have died, and he goes back to the cafe, and it's full of empty chairs and empty tables. And it's a bit like that today. There's a lot of empty chairs here, but it's great to have you joining us online, so welcome. And if it's your first time, you are most welcome as well. So today, I have the privilege of bringing our mini-series, Christ Has Come, to a close. And today is part four, called Jesus, Joy to the World. And our reference scripture is Isaiah 7, verse 14. Which says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which we know means God with us. So, here we are 2 days after Christmas. No doubt it has given many of us joy, particularly those who would classify themselves, like me, as kids, maybe slightly older kids, but still kids when it comes to Christmas. Amen. I happened to wake up a little after 4 o'clock on Christmas morning. It was very peaceful in our home. I decided to try and put myself back to sleep by reading about the Brexit deal that had just been done. Sadly, that didn't work, so at 5:30, I gave up, and I got up at about 6 o'clock. To my astonishment, at about 6:15, my dear wife, Ellie, also woke up. And so tea was made, and Christmas Day had started. But anyway, let's face it, who doesn't love receiving a gift? And hopefully the right gifts were bought, and there was a happiness and a joy that came as people opened those gifts on Christmas morning. But this joy, this happiness that we get from opening gifts on Christmas morning is a temporary joy. Next week, when we either go back to work, or we think about going back to work, or maybe we're going back to school or thinking about going back to school, or maybe we're just pondering what 2021 has in store for us, the joy we experienced on Christmas morning will sadly start to seem a little distant. This temporary moment in time joy is not the same joy that is spoken of in the Bible when Jesus came to earth. This is what Pope Francis has said about joy. What is this joy? Is it to be happy? No, it is more than that. To be happy is good, but joy is something more. It is another thing, something that does not depend on external motivations or passing issues. It is more profound than that. It is a gift from God. So today I want to consider this gift from God, Jesus the Christ, and show how it is a gift that is for all people. It can be received any day, at any time, in any place, anywhere in the world. And once received and opened, it gives so much joy to every moment of every single day of our lives. Now, although we celebrate this gift first being given at Christmas time, the gifts we give to one another as part of that celebration are incomparable to the gift we received from the Father when Jesus came from heaven and became fully man while remaining fully God. So I've broken this down into four stages, and I've called it stages of joy in our walk with Christ. The first one is when we first receive this gift, the good news about Christ. And this is like the rebirth and discovery of our faith. The second one is as we open and discover the wonder of this gift, which I've categorized as the love and light of Christ in our lives. And this really is the start of our walk in faith. The third one is as we live with this gift daily. And this I've categorized as the strength of Christ to sustain us. And this really is the maturing of our faith. And then finally, as we prepare for the promise of the gift to come to fulfillment, which I've categorized as eternity in the kingdom of heaven with Christ. And this really is the completion of our faith. So I'll take these each in turn. So point number one is the good news about Christ, the rebirth and discovery of our faith. I'm going to read from Luke 2, and I know Mark read this scripture on Christmas Eve, but I wanted to read this portion of scripture again. I haven't put it up on a slide because it's actually a long portion of scripture, but just bear with me. I'm starting from verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks that night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. A well-known portion of scripture. Today, I want to reflect on Luke 2 and verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And again, we hear that this is great joy, this news, this good news of the Savior's arrival on earth. But it's for all the people. It's for everybody. The Greek word here used is chara, which means joy, rejoicing, happiness, gladness. And it comes from the verb chairo, to rejoice. And this really is how it is when we receive the good news of Christ for the first time. We rejoice. In our walk with Christ, the first time we experience the joy of his presence is when we are born again, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is the discovery of our faith and brings joy and happiness that many have said they've found difficult to describe. Prior to this, we may have experienced his presence through others and through miracles or testimonies that we have seen or heard. These make us happy, particularly for others who maybe have been the subject of those miracles. But we experience that first true joy when we receive his presence inside of us. Then we receive the rebirth that comes from Holy Spirit. As Jesus says in John 3, verse 5, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Of course, after we have received this moment of joy, this great joy that comes, this rejoicing that comes from hearing the good news of Jesus, the Christ, that he came down from heaven to earth to save us, to redeem us from our sins. As soon as we have accepted that, we are immediately tested by the enemy, the devil, to try and strip us of this joy that we've just received, this joy that sustains. The devil wants to try and convince us that the joy we feel is no more than that joy we feel when we open a present on Christmas morning. It's temporary instead of the promise of a lifelong freedom that comes with our new faith. As it says in Mark 4, verse 16 and 17, "Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." We can't just receive this gift and then put it on the shelf as we get busy with other things in life. That is what the enemy wants from us. We have to open the gift. We have to reveal and live in the joy that knowing Christ brings to establish deep roots in our faith. So I'll move on to point number two, which talks of the wonder of this gift and discovering the wonder of this gift, which I've categorized as the love and light of Christ. And this really is the start of our walk in faith. There are two Old Testament scriptures I'm going to refer to here. The first is Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, which says, "For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete." And the second one is 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 27. And it says, "Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his dwelling place." Now these scriptures talk of the awesomeness of God, the strength of God, and the joy that comes from being in his presence. But they also speak of his desire to bless us every day, giving us joy in all the work of our hands. As we start to use the gift of his son Jesus in our life, the Father shows us more and more of the wonder of this gift. Our faith is established as we see the work of the Father in our lives through Jesus by Holy Spirit, and in the lives of those around us, those that we are praying for. When I first gave my life to Jesus, I was in South Africa at the time. And it was obviously an amazing time in my life. I wasn't entirely sure how to react to it and work with it. But the one thing that appealed to me was that I could pray for people. And I believed 100%, without a shadow of doubt, that God would hear my prayer and he would answer it. The wonderful thing about being new in your faith is that you have no doubts. Jesus says in the word that we need to have faith like that of a child, an unquestioning faith. And I remember thinking, I prayed for my landlord's mum who had cancer, and I prayed for her, and she got better. And there was really, honestly, nothing about my prayer that was notable. I didn't really know how to pray. I just simply asked God to heal her. And I have no idea whether, there's no proof that it was anything to do with my prayer that led God, through his grace, through his goodness, through his love for her, to heal her. But what it did do was just build my faith. It started sinking those roots deeper. And that's how God works. He wants us to have wholehearted, unquestioning faith. He wants us to pray to him with an absolute assuredness in our minds that he's going to listen and respond. John 16:24 says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And there is an amazing joy that comes when we put our faith to the test and start asking God, and he responds. It is one of the wonders of God, is that he hears our prayers said anywhere in the world, at any time, in whatever circumstance we're in. He hears our prayers, and he responds to us. And John 3:29 speaks of John the Baptist's experience. It says, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete." I love this scripture because it shows us that John the Baptist, who was called to go ahead of Christ to tell of the coming Messiah, and who denied himself life's comforts to the extent they existed in those times. But in following his calling, he left. He was in the desert area, but he was following his calling. He was doing what he was called to do. But he experienced complete joy when he first saw Jesus and he first heard his voice. This is what it's like for us when we see Jesus revealed to us and we hear Jesus' voice, responding to our prayers, bringing light to our life, and showing us a better way. Our joy becomes complete. Now we have a response as well that comes with this joy, and that is to share the good news that we have heard, to tell others about this joy we have received. And in 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." To share the love and the light of Christ that's alive and active in our lives brings an amazing joy. This joy not only stems from telling others the good news about Jesus Christ, but it also stems from speaking of what he has and is doing for us every single day. And it is a great joy to see the lives of others transformed by Christ's love. It's been one of the great joys of our recent Alpha course to see the life of Christ growing in the lives of all those who came on the course. And you know, this joy is infectious. Even though Ali and I have walked with Christ for many years now, we too got to share in the joy of the gift of Christ in the lives of those who were on the course with us. And we now have friendships that have been cemented by that shared joy of the revelation of truth about this incredible gift from the Father. My third point I have titled is, "We live with this gift daily. The strength of Christ to sustain us." And this really is the maturing of our faith. And as our faith matures and we walk in it day after day, month after month and year after year. The trials of life continue, of course, and we are regularly challenged in our consistency and dedication to that faith. It's easy to wander away from the passion and energy we had when we first received, opened, and started to use the gift of Christ in our lives. We can forget the joy we experienced in that early period of our faith, when everything seemed so simple, and the Father seemed to answer our every prayer almost immediately. It says in 1 Peter 5, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Peter encourages us to be self-controlled and alert, resisting the devil and standing firm in our faith. The great news is that God is loving and gracious, and he restores that feeling of joy when we turn our eyes back to him and stand firm in our faith. The next scriptures are from the Old Testament. The first one is 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 26. "And there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem." And this scripture talks of the Passover feast that Hezekiah, king of Judah, led in Jerusalem at that time. And there hadn't been a festival like this since the days of Solomon, which was some 240 years earlier. And the people in the in-between years, the people had wandered away from God. But when they came back and celebrated again the festival of the Passover, there was great joy in their hearts. And the next scripture is, the next two scriptures are Ezra and Nehemiah. The first from Ezra 6:16, which says, "Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy." And Nehemiah 8:10, which is often quoted when thinking of joy. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, these two verses from Ezra and Nehemiah speak to the joy that came to the people of Israel when they celebrated the dedication of the temple that had been restored, and when Ezra read the word of the law to the people once again. Their initial reaction was to weep as they heard the word and reflected on how they had drifted away from it. But Nehemiah told them to celebrate, as this day was holy to the Lord, when they humbled themselves before God once again. Nehemiah tells them that the joy of knowing God's word is a strength for them to sustain them. You see, Nehemiah knew that to experience joy, an inner restoration had to supersede the exterior rebuilding of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. And we too, when we feel dry, when we've drifted away from reading the word, we must rebuild from within by reading the word so that the joy of the Lord can be a strength to us. It can radiate through us and help move us forwards to the next step on the path that God has for our lives. In the New Testament, this is Jesus speaking. From John 15, verses 9 to 11, "As the Father," this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, "as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And John 17:13 is Jesus praying for his disciples before he goes to his crucifixion. It says, "I'm coming to you now," speaking to his Father in heaven, "but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And in these verses, Jesus speaks first to his disciples about remaining in him and in his love to receive his joy, the joy that Jesus had, so that it may be completed in their lives. The second scripture is Jesus praying for his disciples, asking the Father to leave the joy that Jesus has with them so that they may be able to endure the upcoming trial of his crucifixion. We can be sustained by the joy that Christ had here on earth when he was with us. When we remain in him and we remain in his love, whatever else may be going on in our lives, this truth remains. Our joy from the gift of Christ living in us and through us is unshakable and sustains us with a great strength. You see, joy in Christ isn't a giddy feeling of cracking up at a joke or a triumphant banner of victory when we accomplish a goal or soar ahead in an area of struggle that we've been battling with. Joy, of course, is there in these moments. But true joy stems from the unwavering strength of the Lord. That strength comes from the joy of remaining in him, remaining in his love. We need this joy to remind us how far we have come in our faith and encourage us throughout the long road of refinement ahead we have yet to travel. And so finally, I want to look at the fourth part of this joyful gift that we receive, speaking of as we live in the promise of the gift to come to fulfillment, which is eternity in the kingdom of heaven with Christ. And this really is the completion of our faith. And there's two scriptures here from John. The first says, so with you, John 16, verse 22, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. And John 14, 2 says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And we know from these scriptures in John that a place has been prepared for us in heaven, and that when Christ comes again, we will rejoice, and no one will be able to take away our joy. The book of Revelation speaks of our hope for eternity in his kingdom. I want to just share a couple of scriptures. If you're anything like me, they bring joy just reading them. The first is from Revelation 19, verses 5 to 9. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our God, our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Excuse me. And Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. we can live our lives in fullness, the fullness of Christ, with the sure knowledge that there is eternity in his presence to come. We do not know the number of days already set by God for our lives, but we can live each day with the joy that comes from knowing that our place with him in eternity is reserved. Excuse me. So in conclusion, joy shifts our hearts to a position of worship regardless of our current circumstances. It doesn't change, it doesn't fade or expound based on anything we do or go through. Jesus is a constant safety and peace in our lives, a safe harbor in a tumultuous world. Through the filter of his joy and by the power of his strength, we're able to witness to others and share this joy. Joy to the world. The joy of Christ's coming was first experienced by the shepherds and has been replicated billions of times since. Every time someone has heard the good news of Christ and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior in their lives. This joy is for everyone. There are no prerequisites other than faith in him who makes our joy complete. This joy is not a one-time event. It's a gift that once received and opened lasts through every day of our salvation. It is found in everything we do in Christ and brings us strength to persevere as we continue to read his word and build our personal relationship with Jesus. So I want to end by inviting anyone during this Christmas period who has heard the good news of Christ, maybe for the first time, but this Christmas has really heard it. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity. If you've heard of Jesus' unconditional love for you, today is a day that you can receive this gift in your heart. And it will keep on giving you joy every day for the rest of your life. If that is you, I'd love to invite you to pray with me at home. I'm just going to say a simple prayer now, and please pray it if that is you, if you want to accept Jesus as Lord in your life today. And then we encourage you to reach out to us and tell us, speak to us, and we'd love to speak to you about the gift that you have just received. So please pray these words. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven down to earth to forgive us of our sins, and who died on a cross and on the third day was raised again and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept that I am a sinner, and I accept that Jesus died to forgive my sins. I accept you as Lord and Savior in my life. As I said, if you were sat at home and you said that prayer, please reach out to us. You'll find our details on our website. We'd love to speak to you more about this incredible gift of joy that Christ has brought. Amen.